Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to talk about the crew. Brought to you by Pool Park in Menominee Falls. Pool Park, a family-owned business that's been around since 1964, specializes in above-ground and semi-in-ground pools, hot tubs, water care, and pool service and maintenance. Plus, get 5% off cleaning supplies if you're wearing your favorite crew apparel. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Always a fun segment every day. We get to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers, guaranteed Brewers talk each and every day here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, regardless the Packers are playing or not. Joining us now for his debut on this show, he is Jack Stern, Brewers beat writer over there at Brewer Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. Jack, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I want to first get your thoughts on what led you to kind of writing this story as far as with the intentional walks with Murphy. Was there anything specifically that got you triggered to kind of do some research and figure out where they were?
Not necessarily, other than maybe the fact that I'm weird and these are the things I like to pay attention to. But no, just kind of following this team throughout the whole season, you just kind of eventually start to get a suspicion at some point, like, it seems like they're intentionally walking a lot more guys than we saw under Craig Counsell or in past seasons. So you start to take a look at it then, and, you know, sure enough, the numbers back that up. And conveniently too, as I kind of had this idea in mind, they went out and they intentionally walked three more guys on that road trip. So it all kind of worked out that way.
And reading your piece, you even mentioned Pat Murphy was surprised by how many guys they've intentionally walked this year. What did he say? Like, he only thought they walked it, did it like four or five times, and the number was like 22 or something.
Right. Kind of his response to it, and I think that just kind of indicates that, you know, it's not necessarily something that he sees as a weapon or anything like that, but he's definitely a little bit more liberal, it seems, with when he's willing to do it. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a higher total than I think a lot of people would expect, even if you've been watching a lot of this team this year. So that was just kind of his quippy response to it, so to speak.
I'm interested in seeing what you think about this. It feels like this front office with Pat Murphy has just kind of changed their way of thinking about how to go about doing the game of baseball much differently than with Craig Counsell. I mean, the small ball, the bunting, the stealing of bases, all of that much different this year than we saw under Counsell and David Stearns. Do you think more of this is coming from Murphy convincing Matt Arnold and crew of how he wants to do things? They always say it's a collaboration, but somebody had to lead the conversation on this.
Yeah, really a combination of two different factors. It starts first and foremost just with the construction of this roster. You look at the guys who are on this team, you look at the guys who are in this lineup compared to some of the rosters that they've had in the past. this is a group that is a little bit more equipped to play that kind of baseball and be productive doing it. Some of the lineups that you had under Craig Counsell that was consisted more of some power-heavy guys, maybe not quite as much speed. Those are guys who you're not going to ask to bunt or do some of these little things because that's not their strength. But now, with the way that this roster is assembled, you have more guys who are built like that. And if you're going to win games, you just got to let guys play to their strength. So I think that's a big part of it as well. But I think that another factor in that change that we've been seeing is just the way that Pat Murphy's applying some of the information that he gets from the front office. It's always going to be, like you mentioned, a collaborative effort between those two groups, but there's going to be a little nuance based on the individuals involved as to how all of that information gets applied. So I really think it's just those two things in tandem with one another that have really led to this change. I don't know if it's been a clear-cut philosophy change or anything like that, just a couple of different things that have changed with the way that this organization and with the way that this roster and with the way that this coaching staff are constructed, that when you kind of put all those ingredients together, this is what a lot of people with the Brewers believe is now the most productive way to play based on the personnel that they have.
And it certainly has been productive, no question. Jack Stern, Brewers beat writer over at Brewer Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at @BackJackStern and follow Brewer Fanatic at @Brewer_Fanatic on Twitter. Again, they do lots of great work over there. Enjoy reading all of their stuff and a lot of in-depth stuff that you're not going to find anywhere else. Jack, the other part of this to me is, you know, when these kids are coming up, and I call them kids. I hate when people do that. Well, when these guys are coming up from the minor leagues, right, and you're talking about Garrett Mitchell and Sal Frelick and Terang, outside of Churio, the rest of them, do you think they've lived up to expectations to this point?
Kind of depends on what your expectations were. I think that most of the people who are a little bit more optimistic on this group, I think they might be inclined to say no, but that's mainly from the offensive standpoint. The good news about all these players is they're all really, really good defenders, so they've all provided the Brewers with positive value in the time that they've been here. They've combined to be pretty well below average with the bat, but the defense has been really good. I think for me personally, they've largely been right in line with kind of what I was expecting to be the case for a lot of these players, just based on the profiles that they had coming up through the minor leagues. So I think it depends on kind of what your expectation was. Kind of right in line, like I said, with what I was expecting. My guess is if you ask some other people, maybe it would be a little bit disappointing, but I do think, at the very least, from all of these players, you've seen spurts of what they're capable of. And I think that's really something that you like to see in the big leagues as well. So it kind of depends on what your angle is on the situation and on some of these players.
I think for Sal Frelick, and maybe my expectation was completely off base, and maybe I got too fanboy on this thing, but for me, with Sal Frelick coming up, I just envisioned Frelick as being a leadoff hitter for the next 10 years. Just leave him at the top of the lineup and let's go as kind of that slap hitter. I guess I've been taken back a little bit by the fact of he just doesn't hit the ball as hard consistently as I thought he was going to when he came up here. Has that stuck out to you as much or no?
Yeah. When all of these guys were coming up here, Frelick was always the guy to me who was the most likely to hit big league pitching right out of the gates. And that was because by far he had the best plate discipline of all these guys who were coming up. You know, he wasn't quite like a Joey Weimer or a Garrett Mitchell who had the big power that we like, but also had the big swing and miss concerns. Frelick had, in my mind, a higher floor than these guys, maybe not quite as high of a ceiling, but I think we're seeing that a little bit just in the sense of he's been a below average hitter so far in the big leagues, but if you consider what he's doing now is struggling and compare that to what we've seen from some of these other guys when they're struggling, it is better. So I think in that sense, we are seeing the higher floor. But yeah, if he's going to tap into the ceiling, he's going to have.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Start making a lot more loud contact. I knew that he was never going to be a guy who specialized in that, but I do think it has been a little bit lacking compared to what we were expecting to see once he got to the big leagues.
And at the same time, I would say that Garrett Mitchell was a guy coming up that I thought probably would end up being like that fourth outfielder once everybody was up here. But then Garrett Mitchell, in the short time that he had before he got hurt last year, started to show you some stuff. And you're like, okay, well, maybe he's better than I thought he was. Then he gets hurt again this year. He comes back. I'm still waiting for him to take that next step to be that guy offensively that I think he can be. Are my expectations out of whack for him?
I think that, kind of like you're talking about, there's definitely reason to have, you know, some hope for him. And just when you look at what he's capable of doing ceiling-wise, I do believe that out of all these guys, he's got the highest ceiling. You look at the raw power, the speed, the defense, just everything that's in that package. If he can figure it out, I do think he's got the highest ceiling. The only issue for him, and this is what's really given me pause the entire time that he's been in the big leagues, about his ability to hit big league pitching, there's a pretty big hole in his swing. He struggles a lot with velocity at the top of the zone, and that's never an easy pitch for anyone to hit, but it's especially problematic for him. For most of the season, if you kind of divide the strike zone into three rails, so to speak,
sure,
that top third of the strike zone, he swings and misses at fastballs in that top third of the strike zone over 50% of the time, which is, that's not what you're looking for. And again, guys have weaknesses in their swing. That's nothing new for anybody. But when it's that extreme for a guy, that's definitely something you need to get sorted out. If he can get that sorted out, that has a pretty big impact on his outlook moving forward. But right now it is a pretty big problem. And we've kind of seen it hold him back a little bit, especially over the last couple of weeks where he's had a little bit of a rough go of it.
Jack, I want to change over to pitching. Is what we're seeing from Tobias Myers real and sustainable going forward?
Every aspect of it. I think that when you look at some of the peripheral stats for him underneath the shiny ERA, they more closely resemble those of maybe a number four starter in the big leagues. I think that's sustainable for him. This is a guy who, based on the arsenal, based on the improvements he's made to his command, he is definitely a consistently reliable big league starter. I have no questions about that at this point. I was kind of hoping going into the year that he could emerge as a guy like that, certainly not the heights of what we're seeing right now, but a guy who can hold his own in the big leagues. Right now, anytime that you have the results that he's had and you have the shiny results that he's had, there does need to be some good luck that goes into that. You do need to have some things going right, and he certainly had that, especially his last couple times out. I don't think the stuff or the command have been super crisp. He's kind of been, you know, just trying to find a way to grind through these outings, which he's done to his credit. But I think true talent level wise, this guy's a consistent four-ish ERA guy, maybe low threes in a couple seasons. I don't think we're going to see him sustain the production that we've seen this year, but he's definitely proven that he belongs here, and that's what's really most important.
Jack Stern, Brewers beat writer over at Brewer Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. Joining me on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Aaron Ashby, they paid long-term, then he got hurt. Hasn't been really the same since. This year has been a little bit of a struggle for him as well. They move him down to the bullpen at Nashville. started to really pick up and started to look like his old self again these last few outings out of the bullpen. They bring him up to Milwaukee. Outside of that walk, he looked really good in his one appearance over the weekend. Your thoughts on Aaron Ashby and how he fits into this team, short-term and long-term?
Yeah, I think that the results we've seen from him since he moved to the bullpen are good on both of those fronts. He's a guy who I was not really expecting to see again this year, but again, he took off with the move to the bullpen. Nick Mears hitting the injured list now, and he was the guy who got the call, and he was probably the one who deserved it as well based on how he had started throwing the ball. So now all of a sudden he does look like a guy who could get some fairly important innings for the Brewers the rest of the way if he can continue to show this kind of form, whereas a couple weeks ago I don't think anyone would have expected that. So it's definitely a shift from that standpoint. It also is just good long-term to know that now there appears to be a role that he can slot into. You know, a lot of people, including myself, fully believe that he had the arsenal to be one of the better left-handed starters in the game. But since he came back from the shoulder injury and was trying to work his way back from that, you just weren't seeing the velocity or the command when he was stretched out a little bit more. But those are two things that have definitely taken a jump forward since he's moved to the bullpen. If he keeps throwing the ball the way that he's been throwing it for the last few outings, he's very much a guy who's going to be right at the center of this pitching staff in some capacity, probably out of the bullpen at this point. But it's just good to see that the really good stuff that we knew he had is still there. Whatever role it is that they're able to get it out of him in, it's just good to see that it's still there. And it's good to see that it was still there against big league hitters in Oakland when he made his return to the bullpen.
I got one last one for you. I'm not sure. I'm sure you're up to date on it and you've seen video or whatever else. But I got to get your thoughts on Mizorowski as far as everybody expects him to get called up from AAA, you know, throwing 100-plus down there at Nashville. Used out of the bullpen probably starting September 1st for this crew. Do you think he's good enough that he could get onto a playoff roster for this team?
He's definitely good enough for it. I think it's just going to come down to the rest of the roster situation and whether or not there's a crunch there that kind of keeps him out of the picture. In my mind, the stuff has been big league ready out of the bullpen all season. It was always just a matter of getting him comfortable in that role, which is what they're doing now. But also the need and the opportunity needs to be here. So kind of a couple of different moving parts going on right now. In my mind as well, it kind of depends on whether the Brewers prefer to have some length and some depth the rest of the way or whether they want to swap that out for upside. Do you want to keep guys like Bryce Wilson and Joe Ross on this roster the rest of the year and potentially into the playoffs? Or do you want to maybe cut bait with those guys in favor of putting a Jacob Mizorowski on your roster and going a little bit more for the upside route? The Brewers have a couple of different avenues they could pursue on that front, but it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with Mizorowski at this point in my mind. The stuff is absolutely ready to go to pitch in the big leagues, to pitch in the playoffs even right now. It's just a matter of whether or not they think that they can make room for him and whether they think that's the best route for them to take from a roster standpoint at this juncture.
Man, I hope you come on a lot more because you're good. You're really good, Jack Stern. Brewers beat writer at Brewer Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Jack Stern, here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Wasn't he good?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.